Sybil Danning, sci-fi action film icon, has joined the cast of Here TV's vampire series, The Lair. Playboy nicknamed her Queen of the Action Flicks. Recently, she was in the remake of Halloween and Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse. My favorite is her role as the warden in the cult classic Reform School Girls. Hi, Sybil.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you? Morning, good afternoon to you.
How are you?
I am wonderful. So great to finally hook up with you.
Tell us about your role in Here TV's The Lair.
Well, I have to stay mysterious about that, as it should be airing in September, and I have been told I kind of have a gag order. I think it's the first gag order I've ever had in my life. But Here TV knew how to do that. Okay, gag her. We don't want to give away anything, so I know that all the fans of before that Dante's Cove and now The Lair are very, very excited about season 3, in which I will be appearing in 5 episodes of 13. Not bad. And I will be re-teaming with Fred Olen Ray, wonderful, dear friend of mine with whom I've done a few movies. And when I heard that I could team up with him again, I was very excited because I loved working with Fred, and I know that whatever he does is always going to have a certain quality to it, which is both very, let's put it, very commercial, but also in good taste, and I was very excited. Now, when I spoke to Fred and his wife, Kim, who produced the movie, Kim had said to me, Sybil, we would really love you, and I understand at Here TV you have fans, and they would love to see you come on, but we don't know what character, so we need you basically to commit before you even know what you're going to be playing, because Fred needs to create something. So this was really, Charlotte, the first time in my life where I had taken on a role and didn't know what I was taking on. But I had meanwhile done my homework, and I had looked at various episodes of The Lair, and I loved what I saw, and I said, okay, Fred, I know you. I know you're going to do the right thing, and you're going to give me the right character, whatever that is. So I basically signed on blind. Weeks thereafter, the material came, and I'm very happy that I did it, and it was just a wonderful experience working again with Fred and the entire team, and I also got to know the producers and everyone at Regent and Here TV, and I'm really very excited to be a part of that. And what I'm going to be, everyone has to please tune in September and see what that is.
Well, all I have here is I do have you're playing Fawn Von Hess.
Yes, some kind of, I think that was very creative thinking on Fred's part. Do you think maybe he was a little bit inspired by my role in Grindhouse, where I play Gretchen von Krupp together with Sherry Moon, were the two Krupp sisters in there, werewolf women of the SS. How serious is that?
I love this. I just love
this. But anyhow, yes, she has a beautiful name.
In the bulk of your work, what was your favorite role?
Was a movie called Operation Thunderbolt. We ended up being nominated for Best Foreign Film. It was the Radon Entebbe story, the Bader-Meinhof group. And for that movie, I actually did something that later on in Hollywood I found out that's what you call being a producer, because I was still modeling in Germany, and Menachem Golan had come to me in Munich, and I was actually in Milan, and he said, come to Munich, we're going to do Entebbe. And at that time, they were already doing 2 movies. It was the one with Marvin Chomsky for television was doing the Elizabeth Taylor one, and then there was also the second movie, which was more of an action movie with Charles Bronson, and then we were doing our movie. So long story short, I basically ended up casting Klaus Kinski, who was my friend and lived in Paris at the time, to play Wilfried Böse, and I played the role of Gabriele Tiedemann, which was the fierce and very sadistic and fanatic freedom fighter, Gabriele Tiedemann, who the director said, Sybil, you know, you can play her, but you got to do something, because until then I had been playing all these sexy characters, and she was the total opposite. I mean, she was, there was nothing sexy or beautiful about her. She was who she was. She was a freedom fighter and wore very simple clothes and flat shoes. So I told Menachem, I said, don't worry, this is something I look forward to doing to kind of prove myself, like, you know, Farrah Fawcett did when she did her, I think it was called The Burning Bed.
Right.
Or Charlize Theron, you know, when you want to get away from sexy characters, sometimes you have to go to the extreme to prove that you can also be something other than a face and a body. And that was really my favorite because it was challenging. It was not only a very interesting character that obviously went down in history, but also because she was so sadistic and she was so fanatic, there was that danger of either overplaying her and then becoming a caricature, or underplaying her, and in which case she would not have portrayed her properly. And every newspaper from USA Today across the country and across the world was very positive in their reviews of both Klaus Kinski and my portrayals of those two characters, and I'm very, very proud of that. And like I said, we came very close to getting the Oscar.
What was your favorite film experience?
Well, I have to tell you, I am still that tomboy at heart. I've always been a tomboy, so I really love movies like Battle Beyond the Stars or even Grindhouse, because putting on a costume for me and either flying a spaceship or playing this evil Nazi werewolf woman, it just brings out that tomboy and that child in me that still says, oh, whoopee, I get to put on a costume and have some fun. Battle Beyond the Stars is a classic that Roger Corman produced and Jimmy Murakami directed, and I was very, very proud and very happy to play that character. I was Saint X-Men of the Valkyrie, and I know that my many, many fans out there know that that was a classic remake of a remake. It was basically the Seven Samurai in outer space. First it was done in Japan, of course, and then there was a remake where actually a German, Horst Buchholz, played the one character that goes along with the other fighters to help, you know, to help the poor people against intruders, and he was kind of the wimp of the guys. And in this version, in Battle Beyond the Stars, I got to be the only woman that went along with the men to fight. And she actually ends up committing a kind of harakiri and saving the good planet from the bad guys, because she actually flies her spaceship into the stellar converter of the bad guy's spaceship, which was ruled and run by John Saxon, and therefore saves everyone. So she was kind of ending up being the hero in that movie, and it was just wonderful wearing those costumes and flying a spaceship and actually being the hero as the only woman that goes along with the men to fight, even though they made fun of her and they said, you have the smallest spaceship and you're just a woman, but she proved herself. And that was my second movie when I came to this country, and I was so happy portraying that, because in Europe I was always given, and in those days there were many sexy movies that were being done, and of course I was always cast in those roles. But coming to America, that was kind of my wake-up call, and I said, I really like playing, and she was sexy, but at the same time she was an action hero, and she ended up being a hero, and she proved herself among the men. And I think that's kind of where I, and also someone I worked with at that time who was my manager, said, Sybil, you know, there are a lot of sexy, beautiful girls out there, but you have an inner strength that you should really cash in on and take more advantage of, because, you know, you can run around and look like you're either carrying a blow dryer and you're going to blow dry your hair, or it's a gun and you look like you have the authority and the strength and the inner strength and the intelligence to carry that out, and you have that. So I kind of, from there on, that was a beginning of where I was seeking out roles where I wanted to play strong women as opposed to being a victim. There's enough female victims out there that I just wanted to be a strong character, and I looked for those roles. You said you loved Reform School Girls.
I really loved that. You were terrific in that.
Probably part of that was because before that I did another Women in Prison classic, which was actually Chained Heat. And in there, I played the inmate, but a lot of the reviewers and journalists wrote and said that I should have played the warden, which was played by Stella Stevens, because they thought I was tougher than she was. But that movie, for instance, in Chained Heat, even though I was an inmate, but the whole spirit of that character, first fighting against, you know, the black group, Tamara Dobson, and then teaming up and going against the authorities, was just another one of those movies that I really loved playing with full spirit. And I remember going in a restaurant one day, and there was this beautiful African-American girl who was the waitress, and she comes to my table and does a double take, and she says, "You're Sybil Danning." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Oh, my God, I saw Chained Heat 5 times. And she says, "You know what? I was on the verge of losing my job. But after I saw Chained Heat, and I went to see it again and again, and I just loved the way you fought for what you believed in, and you were such a warrior in your belief and strength." And she said, "You know what? I went in there, and I said, 'I'm Sybil Danning,' and I got my job back." So, you know, when you hear things like that, I feel I've been able to, in my own little way, help a little bit women and girls feel, well, if Sybil can fight for something and get it done, I can do it too, and maybe help women learn and believe that they don't have to be a victim. They can go out there and fight for their rights and for their beliefs.
Of the celebrities that you've encountered, who are you most impressed with?
I met Sophia Loren, and I've always, always adored and loved her. And I met her. We unfortunately never had the opportunity to work together, but I met her in Rome when she still lived there, and we had lunch together. And afterwards, we actually both went into the pool. And in my newsroom, there's a little picture in there on my website of her and I standing in the pool. And she is, of course, done full makeup at midday, as she always is, perfectly done and beautifully coiffed and everything. And she said, "Sybil, you know, I said, you're just so beautiful, and I've been such a fan of yours." And she was just telling me at that time, she said, "No matter what you do, you know, beauty comes from inside." But she said, "There's a little something that helps on top of that," and she said, "That's sleep. Nothing can help your looks more than sleep." And she was telling me that she's a big fan of sleeping 8, 9 hours, sometimes 10 hours when she works. And she shared that with me, besides also giving me her cookbook, which she wrote, and she actually followed also, because it was a cookbook on how to stay slim with pasta. So she was on a pasta diet. We've never worked together, but just being with her, you know, just how very simple and sweet and kind she was in person.
I saw the coming attractions for the new movie, 9. She actually has a cameo in it.
Yes.
I love her, too. I think she's absolutely fantastic.
This is a woman that will be beautiful and gracious until she takes her last breath, you know. She's a very lovely lady. I'm fortunate to have known her privately.
Yeah, you really are. As a heterosexual woman, what's your spin on gay marriage?
You know, I am for equal rights. I am totally for equal rights. When I came to this country, I was happy to leave Europe because everything was so confined and inadequate and not equal, and especially Austria. You know, coming from Austria, I was raised very, very Catholic. I went to a Catholic school. It was a very strict orden. I mean, I just came from such a strict background that when I came to America, I felt, here I can breathe. Here I can be free. Women are respected more than in any other country in the world, in America. And I still believe today that I call this my home now, have the most wonderful country in the world. It's not for us perfect, absolutely not. There are many, many faults, but let me tell you something. Having come from Europe and I've traveled the world, I would rather be here than anywhere in the world. And no, it is not perfect. And I think we've come a long, long way, absolutely. I mean, we have women in positions that are now, luckily, slowly going into other positions in the world, too. And we've been example for the rest of the world, even though they're fighting it, and we have a long way to go. But I am absolutely an advocate of equal rights. I think if men and women and men and men and women want to get married, I think that's their right. I think they are citizens of this world just like anyone else, and I do hope that this will get passed soon. I know that it's just a little bit of a delay. I mean, California, we're always slow out here. I think we just missed the boat a little bit and maybe not being aggressive enough and promoting that soon enough, and the other side got the upper hand. But I do feel that eventually it's just a matter of time, and I think it will be, and it is already slowly moving from state to state. And I think it will be, I think a lot is going to still change for the better under Obama. I think it's percolating underneath. I think he's taken on other things like health care right now, and of course our terrible war that we're dealing with in Afghanistan now. But I think it is percolating there, and I think it is going to be within his time period. I think we're going to see changes in several states, and I think California is going to be one of them.
What projects are you working on now, besides The Lair?
I have a movie that is coming out. I believe there are discussions going on right now with the distributor for a movie called Jump, which is a movie that I did with Patrick Swayze. And I believe from what I've heard, I think that's the last feature that he did. And then he was shooting his TV series. It has come out in Europe, and it has not come out here yet. Jump is a 1929 drama, which is actually the story of Philip Halsman. Philip Halsman was the photographer who won the Lifetime Achievement Award in photography. He is the photographer who shot and was famous for the many covers that he did for Time Life magazine. He was known for his photos of celebrities jumping in the air. Very, very famous ones were the one of Marilyn Monroe jumping in this black dress where she has her legs pulled up and she's jumping in the air, and everyone from Marilyn Monroe to Nixon. And this is his story. And it starts out in 1955, New York, where he is photographing Marilyn Monroe jumping, and a journalist asks him, "We don't know anything about you, and where does this come from, this photographing people?" And then he tells the journalist the story, and it takes us back to Austria in 1929 and the uprising of National Socialism, and the fact that he was actually incarcerated for the supposed murder of his father due to the propaganda at that time. So that is a very, very wonderful movie, and Patrick plays a Jewish defense attorney. A very different role for him. He was wonderful in it, and like I said, that is now just up for discussions with a U.S. distributor. Then I have a wonderful movie that I am producing, and I'm just getting my revised screenplay in today. It's called The Last Revenants. This is the movie about four young girls who are the last revenants on this earth. They are vampires, and they are dealing with living in today's society as four women, more or less friends with conflict, dealing with their ordeal and how they deal with it in today's life, being vampires, and what they have been given from this matriarch. I play the matriarch, who has basically passed on her wisdom to these girls and how they can survive as they are growing weaker, as they are the last of the revenants, and just how those relationships pan out. It's a very interesting screenplay, and I like it very much, and I'm in the midst of just putting the financing together for that now and getting my cast together. I have a wonderful director. The director is Joe Eckert. He did a fantastic a documentary on Danny Trejo, which has Dennis Hopper and Steve Buscemi. And
that was Champion, right?
Champion, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful because it's such a wonderful success story of, you know, Danny being drug dealer, robber, being in San Quentin, and then now he's actually counseling children and helping them to stay out of all the trouble that he was in. So Joe is a wonderful filmmaker. I'm very excited about working with him.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra to get you through difficult times like these?
My quote has always been, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today, because I feel a lot of times we miss the boat, and if we don't do what we set out to do right away, we might not get it done. you know, people say, oh, you're so lucky because when I came to this country, I was told, you know, there are 5,000 actors that are out of work in Hollywood. What makes you think you can do something there? And I said, I'm just going to go there. And if they throw me out the door, I'll go in the window. And if they throw me out the window, I'll go in the chimney, you know. When you feel you want to do something, do it. Believe in what you're doing, do it, and it will happen. It's not luck. I don't believe it's luck, but I do believe it is opportunities meeting, you know, being ready for it. So if you decide you want to do something and you're ready for it, when an opportunity comes, first know what you want to do and then do it. And don't put it off, because that one opportunity might be there today and not tomorrow. And that's the opportunity that it takes to help make your dreams and your goals come true.